Well, brethren, they say things are in place. There'll be opportunity at this time for someone to read.
Let's read John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is to whom I shall give a sop, when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, Buy those things ye have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night.
I think all of you have received instruction about the pattern and how we're going to go about this work. And while we're doing this, a brother will have opportunity to rise to his feet and defend this ordinance of foot washing. So there's liberty, brother.
Well, I don't know what you think about when you think about something like feet washing. But this evening, as I was sitting there, I had to think about, I don't know if you've ever seen those pictures out of maybe the Middle Ages when they were dark and they're really dark pictures and paintings. And there's brightness. There's those individuals that are doing something in those pictures that are kind of bright in the middle. And I just kind of have depicted in my mind, my brother said earlier that some of us younger ones, maybe I'm that or not, have these vivid imaginations, but I have that kind of that Baroque period painting laid out, and I see a church that is gathered there, and yet it's light here, but let's just imagine it's dark, but yet there's light in the midst of all your faces, and you're washing feet. And just like was about to happen here, a timeless tradition, a tradition of which that the church has taken part of for, you know, millennia now, just after the likeness of Jesus doing that and calling his disciples to do just that very thing. But in that picture laid out there, I have a title of that picture, and it's called The Feet of the Many Who Will Feast Together. The Feet of the Many Who Will Feast Together. So there they are, this group of saints. Here you are, a group of saints. And you're at a table. You're at the Lord's table, and you're doing something very peculiar. You're taking a moment. You're taking a bit of time, just in that image, and not only in that image, but here, even around these tables, and you're washing one another's feet. It is quite a peculiar thing, but it is of rich and thick Christian tradition and culture that it goes all the way back to Jesus himself. We just read that account when he says you ought to do these things. And so what a blessing for us to continue in that this evening. Self-examination is a time when we examine ourselves. We're the only ones that are able to do that. We're the only ones able to see into our own heart. And even that we can't do clearly without the Spirit's work. But here this evening, now we get to something a little bit more communal. You know, this is a precious foot washing. This is not just your average time you wash your feet when you do that by yourself. But this is something you're doing communally. This is something you take these feet that take you everywhere you go, and you present them out, and you hold them out for some particular brother or some particular sister that is going to come along, hold those feet, and wash them. It's a very, very precious thing. Again, the painting this evening is the feet of the many who will feast together. We want to pull this phrase. We think about this evening. The first verse says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Having loved his own which were in the world. This evening, and in that hypothetical painting in my head, is a group of saints, and they're loving their own. That is not to say they don't love those that are outside of that room, but they specifically are loving their own in this case. One of the beautiful things that happens when a community washes feet together, and we're doing that literally this evening, but I suppose it can get into some spiritual applications as well as it applies to other ways, is you're loving one another. This is an expression of love. Jesus, in this case, when he shows us this example, when he does this here in the upper room, he is loving his own. It's always very precious to think about the fact that it's not just but a few days and he would go the way of the cross. This was that important that he showed this kind of love to them, this kind of expression to them of calling them to something of humility, calling them to something of service. Maybe simply breaking down the facade of a group of men that were still trying to figure out who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know what all lessons he was intending to convey there that evening. And we read there that Simon Peter, of course, when he gets to Simon Peter, you know, Simon just like, well, no, you can't do this all the way from that till you got to wash me everything. But it's like he was potentially breaking down even still some of their hardened facade as they were trying to process what it was like in the kingdom of heaven. Again, these are the feet of the many who will feast together. As we think about observing feet, I like to think about a story I read just recently that it was a man by the name of, his name was Dr. Brand. I believe his first name was Paul. Paul Brand. Paul Brand lived in, he was spending some time in India, and he was a doctor, and he was a hand doctor. And as I remember the story, as I read it there, he went to this community that had a lot of leprosy in it. And so there he was, a hand doctor, no doubt from a Western country somewhere. And as he was in this community, he met these people that had their hands all curled up from leprosy and all sorts of crippling diseases that had happened in that day. And he told them there he was trying to win over them. He was trying to get them to trust him. He was there to care for them. He was there to minister to them. He was there to administer even, you know, medical care to them. And he was trying to get them to trust him. And he said, I love to observe hands. I'm a hand doctor. I work on hands. I love to observe hands. And you can imagine how that would work if your hand were crippled up and you couldn't hold it out right. And somebody told you that, it would probably make you ashamed. Like, well, I'm ashamed to give you my hand. It's so gnarly. It's so disconfigured. It's so discombobulated. And it's like, well, this man said, I love to see hands. And he said, it makes me think of Jesus. He said, I would love to see the hands of Jesus. Now again, we want to make some application here a little bit to the feet that you're going to hold or have already held, or maybe you're presenting your feet to be held. And maybe sometimes those feet come with a certain amount of shame, not because necessarily how they look, because just who we are and that facade that we still carry around. But this man said, this Paul Brand says, I would have loved to have seen the feet of Jesus. Or I'm sorry, the hands of Jesus in this account. And he said, well, I would have loved to have seen the hands of Jesus as a baby. To see him, see those soft hands as God became flesh. Those little simple hands. There's a little boy named Jacob here tonight. This little boy is a blessing to a household and a blessing to a community. I held him a little while ago and his hand just kind of grabbed and it just kind of reached out for whoever he could hold, whoever he could maybe hit. I don't know what those hands will do, but what would it be like to see the hands of Jesus? Those little hands, those little soft hands. Oh, the great work they would do. And then he went on, he said to these Indian folk here, he said, I would love to see the toddler hands of Jesus as he played, as he went out in the dirt, as he got the dirt of his creation under his fingernails, as he went out into the world and he was just experiencing the world. Maybe as he was going and helping Joseph and, you know, with whatever work they had to do or getting water, just these little toddler hands of Jesus. And he goes on, he says, I would love to see the hands of Jesus as he went and healed. The healing hands of Jesus and the miraculous hands of Jesus as Jesus put his hands over water and it turned to wine, as he took the dirt of the earth and his own spittle and he brought sight back to those that were blind. This, those hands that were rich with compassion. And of course he goes on, he says, I would love to see the hands of the crucified Lord. Those hands of which that were, they went from those soft, little, gentle, childlike hands, and it went all the way to the point where there were nails driven through the wrist, nails driven through the hands. And he said, you know, he told his audience there, that remember, that audience was of Indian folk, and they had leprosy and other crippling diseases, and some of them had their hands kind of balled up in a ball. And he said, I wonder if Jesus' hands, he said, I wonder if they were somewhat like your hands that are balled up and your hands that are crippled. Those people that had shame all of a sudden realized that Jesus met them in that place. There was no shame to their hands. There was no shame to their cripplings. There was no shame to their experience. And then he went on in his account and he said, I would have loved to have seen the resurrected hands of Jesus that still bore the scars of our salvation. This evening when you hold somebody's feet in your hands, I don't know what those feet will tell you. Maybe you don't look at them very much. It's a little bit of a peculiar thing to have another person's feet in your hands. It may be the hands this evening of a mother who is weighted down with just the stress of life. They're just simple feet, rather. I'm sorry, we're talking about feet. We're washing feet this evening. They may be the feet of somebody that has maybe an older sister that's walked the way of the world a long time and toes curl in and are just a little bit more gnarly than they used to be. These are the feet of the many that will feast together. This is how, in one little way this evening, how we love one another. We hold these feet, these precious feet. Jesus goes on, he says here in verse 5, thinking about these feet of the many that will feast together. Here in verse 5, he says, after he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So we recognize this is not just some sort of a story he tells them, not some sort of a parable, but he actually kneels down, Jesus Christ, with those hands that Dr. Brand had talked about, with those precious hands that would soon bear scars in them, soon bear those nails in them, and he washed his disciples' feet. And that's what you have this evening. There's something really rich in this experience to hold another brother, to hold another sister's hands. feet in your hands. I want to turn back. I'm going to turn back to Isaiah 1. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. We're going to see this link, it seems, with this idea of washing and the idea of sanctification and the idea of salvation. Isaiah 1:16 says this: "Wash you." I'll read it several times. "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I'll read that again. "Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool." There is something really beautiful about a community taking part in a washing together. There is something about the collective, about the community, that is very, very precious. I hope, if nothing else, in this feet washing to say that. To appreciate the brothers and sisters whose feet you hold. There's lives behind those feet. There's a future behind those feet. And to have this communal washing, as it were, just this symbolic washing, just this washing that is symbolic and rich in imagery, but is also just something following the example of Jesus. Young and old alike, there are young men here with athletic feet that have strength behind their feet, strength behind their steps. And the steps that they can make in their life is going to be tremendous. And there's old men here that frankly probably don't have that many more steps to take. His sisters alike, washing the disciples' feet. Jesus showed us in this very communal way that He washed the disciples' feet. And here we have this opportunity to wash the disciples' feet, the disciples that sit around you, no matter how old, no matter how young. I have to think so many times about this thing of washing. We think of washing our hands, we think of washing our feet. We know that in John 12, maybe I'll read a couple of verses. We're right here. The first verse: "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany." This is right before the, Holy Week, we remember it. "Where Lazarus was, which was raised, had been dead, whom he had been raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped the feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the anointment." This thing of washing feet, of washing hands, this idea of wash that we might be made pure, we recognize the baptismal regeneration that takes place as we submit ourselves to the Lord, as the Spirit of God comes into our very being, as we walk through obedience and baptism. The whole idea of us being washed is so precious. And I think this evening of having this communal washing is a very, very precious concept. Again, you're going to wash the feet of somebody who has a tremendous amount of pain, a tremendous amount of joy, a tremendous amount of temptation, a tremendous amount of victory. Those experiences have had brother to brother and sister to sister as you work your way down, or as you kneel down before a brother, or as you had them kneel down before you and do this very simple thing. The feet of the many who will feast together. We need to walk with others. Sometimes we need this communal washing. I think we can all bear testimony of that. Sometimes our hands hang down. Sometimes our thoughts need encouraged. Sometimes brothers and sisters need to come along and offer some bit of cleansing, some bit of washing, some bit of sanctified word to us. And I think here in this feet washing, you can see that sort of thing being expressed. We need to walk among these disciples. A mother's tired feet, a grandmother's gnarly feet, a young man's strong foot, an older brother's crippled feet. You recognize all these are just examples of lives that are being lived. These feet are experiencing life. We need to be washing one another with the Word, washing one another in encouragement, giving courage, blessing one another, bearing the burdens, all this kind of language we're very, very familiar with, but it needs to continue in a communal way. It needs to be something that is important to us, not only that we do this one to another, but that we receive it one from another. That we will not be too proud and not to have my feet washed. No, you can't wash my feet. I must wash yours, or maybe vice versa. But rather just submitting ourselves one to another as we submit ourselves to the Lord. We wash the feet this evening of dear disciples who need courage, who need celebrated, who need respected, who need honored. All those experiences are taking place. And you have an opportunity to speak voice and give some encouragement, to give some blessing. Maybe it's just a handshake and a smile. Sometimes those are the most important things. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Think about this thing of we need encouragement. We need to be edified. We need to do this communally. We serve God personally. We serve Him. We stand before the cross alone, but only for a minute. If we stand before the cross alone, as we look around, we recognize we're not alone at all. There's people all around. There's brothers and sisters all around as we stand before that place. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." It is very much in our expectation that we would bear each other's burdens, that we would pick up the feet that hang down, or that lag behind, maybe, and that we would encourage them in the way. Hebrews 10:24 tells us this in 25th verse, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but then we would continue on, but exhorting one another." This, I think, can be seen as an exhortation to follow Christ, to be obedient to Him, to follow Him in obedience, even to something as washing feet. 2 Corinthians 1:4 tells us this, "Who comfort us all in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." We have a responsibility to comfort one another, to minister to one another, and this is just one beautiful opportunity that we can do that sort of ministry as we are walking in obedience to Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3:13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And that spoke to me a lot as I was thinking about exhorting one another daily. I wonder sometimes how it was for Peter. Peter here in this account that says no, he says, "Lord," in the sixth verse here of John 13, Peter said unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" And Jesus said, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." If you're saying, "Thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus," of course, Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me." I wonder sometimes if we recognize how important we are to each other. There has been times in my life, and probably each and every one of us, that we frankly have a hard heart. And we walk up to each other, and you never know in a case like this whether you're getting your feet washed or some other exhortation. When some brother ministers to you, and it may be the Spirit of God is using that ministry to soften your heart. That's what it seemed like here when Jesus come to Simon Peter. And yes, Simon is trying to work this thing out in real time. But how often could we sit with a hard heart, and maybe we're bristled up, and maybe we're just kind of, life hasn't gone real well, or whatever the case is, and we're just really resistant. And then all of a sudden we're asked to do something like extend our foot to a brother that would love nothing more than just to wash it. Nothing more, just to bless it. I wonder sometimes if foot washing isn't just an opportunity for us to submit ourselves to one another. An opportunity for us to just soften our hearts before each other and before the Lord. Again, we read there in Hebrews 3:13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." It very well could be that we could become hardened. I pray we never become hardened to serving one another. We never become hardened to the brother and sister that sits beside us, to the community that sits around us, as we love our own, even to whatever end we have, that we not become hardened, but become softened to them, softened to their needs, softened to their concerns, encouraging them in the way of the Lord. 1 Peter 3:9 tells us this, "Not rendering evil for evil, but or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." The idea there is that we are extending a blessing to one another, to our brother, to our sister. And I think this evening in foot washing, we have that opportunity. Back to this picture in my head of this kind of this medieval painting, oil painting. I can see it with a kind of a dark shades around the corner, and maybe it's an old gilded frame, an ornate frame. And there's brothers and sisters lining up those rows, and the room is fairly dark, but maybe the tables are white. And on the faces of those pictures, if you can picture them with me, there's those little images of light. And the light is upon the faces, and the light is in the eyes, as those that are walking with the Lord, those that are born again, those that are submitting themselves to Jesus, those who are the light of the world, as He says, are serving one another. They're not serving one another and keeping all that love in that room just to serve one another for no end, But the end is that God would be glorified. The end is that brothers and sisters would be exhorted, encouraged. Give courage to the brother beside you. Give courage to the sister beside you. Lord knows we need courage in our day. We need courage. We need those to come along and extend washing to us and blessing to us. And we have opportunity for that this evening. The feet of the many who will feast together. I would like to think that this might be one of those services, one of those opportunities when heaven meets earth a little bit in this very peculiar way when Jesus asks us to do something that we can hold on to. It's very tangible. It's very tangible. Sometimes we talk about love and we talk about humility and we talk about those things that can become maybe just mere ideology to us. But here this evening we have the opportunity to hold a foot, to hold a brother's foot. I don't know what we'll learn, even as you think back to the feet that you've held, or maybe the feet that you have, what you'll learn about your life, what you'll learn about their life, except for, I pray that you love them. We live in a world that we need to encourage each other to love one another. It is something very important within the church that we love one another, that we bear one another's burdens, that we continue to wash the feet of the many who will feast together.